So let's begin with verse number 5 today. Let's stand together. Hebrews 11:5. Just out of curiosity, how many remember the definition for faith? Confident conviction that causes a commitment. All right? As we go through here, we should see that in every one of these people. A confident conviction that causes a commitment. Verse number 5 says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Heavenly Father, Lord, today we pause, thanking you for all the blessings of another opportunity that we have to be in your house, to study your word. And Lord, I pray as we go through this passage of Scripture today, that we might glean something from it that will work in our life, that we might be able to be the people that you'd have for us to be. And Lord, I pray for those today who may not be sure of eternity, that Lord, before they walk out of this building, that they might would come to the knowledge and understanding of their condition and be sweetly saved. Lord, again, I thank you for all you do in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The 11th chapter of Hebrews, as we know, this roster of faith, all these faithful people who all went through different things, but it was their faith that really stood the test of time. And I believe that God has gave us this so you and I can learn, and you and I can draw from that. And as we go through our troubles in our life, we'll be able to find what these people found. I believe all these were people like you and I. They didn't have special abilities, didn't have special power. They just had faith. And I believe faith is what we need more of today. This story of Enoch, I think, is a cool story because it really fits with you and I today, the time frame and everything. If we want to find a little more about Enoch, we got three passages in the Scripture that will teach us about him. First of all, go with me to Genesis 5, and let's read the original story pertaining to this man Enoch. Genesis chapter 5. Give you some background, then we'll get right to the heart of the message today. Chapter 5, we have another Enoch that's mentioned up in the former verses of chapter 5, but we're interested in the Enoch of verse 21. Now, just maybe a side note, we'll not turn there and read, but the book of Jude tells us about this Enoch, about his prophesying, and he called him the seventh from Adam. So if you look in this chapter and the chapter before, and you count down seven generations, you'll find the Enoch that we're talking about. This is what happened to this Enoch. Verse 21 says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Now, how many of you would think today that 65 years old having a baby is pretty old to have a baby? Y'all would raise your hand and say, yeah. But we got to see in Bible times, especially this time before the flood, that wasn't old. If you back up and look, verse 17, there's a man that was 895 years old. And then there's a man that lived 900 in verse 20 and 62 years. So if you lived 962 years, 65's a teenager, wouldn't y'all agree? So Enoch had this son when he was young, 65 was young, and begot Lamech. Verse 26, and Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years and begot sons and daughters. The thing I want you to see about Enoch is this. Look at verse 22. The Bible said, verse 21 says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Now, we've just read somebody lived 900, somebody lived 800. So somebody that died when they're 300s died a pretty young man. But guess what? He didn't die. You read all this chapter, all these people died. Somebody lived this many years and they died. This many years and they died. And they died. And they died. And they died. But we got to Enoch and the Bible said he didn't die. All the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. I want us to see some things about Enoch today that maybe correspond with you and I. First of all, the Bible tells us he started walking with God when? When his son Methuselah was born. Doesn't say much about Enoch's life before Methuselah, but after Methuselah was born, Enoch started walking with God. So, we got to understand what Methuselah meant. In the Bible days, when you're reading names in the Bible, how many ever knows there's no last name? There's not John Meese and John Smith. Y'all notice that? It's John the Baptist, right? His last name was not Baptist. It meant they gave them names that pertained to what they did, okay? And so most people's names were about what they did or who they were and what they represented. Well, you'll never read another person in the Bible by the name of Methuselah. He's the only one. By the way, Methuselah's the oldest living person that ever lived upon the earth. No one ever lived any longer than Methuselah. The Bible tells you in those scriptures how many years that he lived. But no one ever lived as long as this man lived. But what does his name mean? This is pretty cool. If you look up what his name means, you can just Google this after church, not now, but you'll find this. His name meant, after he dies, it will come. That's an odd name. I'm going to name my kid, after he dies, it will come. Well, really that's what Enoch named his son Methuselah. You see, God had shared with him that after this guy dies, it'll come. Now, let me ask y'all something. What do you think "it will come" means? Something major happens when Methuselah dies. Anybody know?
Flood.
A flood. And so, Enoch is living in a time that God had told him that when your son dies, it will come. Now, I tell you what. If I'd have been the daddy of Methuselah, I'd have been a nervous guy. I'd walk in his bedroom, Todd, every night and probably felt as if he was breathing. I'd have made sure he was protected. You know, I'd have wrapped in bubble wrap, probably, Ben, to make sure this kid didn't get hurt. But you know, Enoch didn't live the whole life of Methuselah. But Enoch's walk changed when he knew what was going to happen when Methuselah died. And I think we've got to get that today. You and I are living in a time much like Enoch. You and I know, because the Bible's told us, that the end of this world is coming. Jesus Christ is coming back. And now we got people this year that are date setting. I mean, we got movies. We've got TV documentaries about the Mayan calendar. Everybody thinks something major is going to happen this year. And you know what? Something major might happen this year, like the return of Jesus. But here's what Enoch did when he realized what was coming. Possibly in his lifetime. He changed the way he lived. The Bible said Enoch walked with God after Methuselah was born. 365 years. I want you to know today, one of the most important things we can do is walk with God. Now, preacher, what does that mean, walk with God? Go back to Hebrews, and we'll get the gist of the message today. Book of Hebrews, where we started this morning. Chapter 11, verse number 5. The Bible says, by faith. Now remember, what is faith? A confident conviction that causes a commitment. It was by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had a testimony that he pleased God. There's one word that keeps getting repeated in that scripture, and that word is translation. How many notice that? Anybody know what that means? The word translate means to be moved from one place to another. So, We have a story in the Bible about Jesus being transfigured. In other words, he didn't leave, but he was changed. His figurement was changed. But translation means that you have moved from one place to the other. Now, the Bible tells us that Enoch was translated. In other words, he was with God one minute, with man 1 minute on the earth, and the next minute, he was gone. You say, well, preacher, that's what happens when you die. You die, and the Bible says, be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. The problem is, Enoch didn't die. So what happened? Well, we preachers say, he was walking with God, him and God were walking, they were talking, the next thing you know, they're walking right into the heavenly city. Walking on the streets of gold, and it just happened like that. Preacher, really happened like that? I think pretty close. He was with God. He walked with Him. There's a whole lot to walking with God. I think walking with God is talking about your prayer life. It's talking about the way you live, a holy, separated life. I believe Enoch changed everything about him. I want you to see a couple things. First of all, you and I will be translated. Do you know that? It's very possible that you and I may not die. That's some good news. See, most of the time I preach, I say this. Everybody's dying. That's just how I started out. It's the point of a man wants to die after this judgment. Now I look out here and I say, every one of you is dying. Just get ready. Just don't know when and where. But y'all are dying. And y'all leave here mad. But now I tell you that y'all may not die and y'all are still mad. Y'all just mad. Go Patriots. I got somebody. Preacher, what do you mean we may not die? Go with me. Keep your Bible marked. I want you to read one other place with me. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. Verse 51. You and I got something in common with Enoch today. The Bible says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now the word sleep here referring to death. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I'm kind of looking forward to that. I'm kind of looking forward to a place or a body, Brother Steve, that has no pain, that has no malfunctions, that one day hurts, one day doesn't. I'm pretty excited about getting that change. Aren't you all?
Amen.
Aren't you excited about not having to wear glasses?
Amen.
Aren't you excited about not having to color your hair? Oh, you don't think I know that, do you? Y'all thought I thought you'd just been blonde all your life. Well, I'm looking forward to the time in my life that all of these problems are gone. And the Bible says, Steve, you may not die, but you will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You and I could be living in a time that trumpet sounds. Thessalonians talks about the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That would make a good Sunday. You're talking about Super Bowl Sunday. That's better than hot wings, Scott.
Amen.
I mean, you can't put cheese on that and make that any better. That's good. And the Bible says you and I could be living in a time like Enoch, that we could be walking, talking with God, having church. Next thing we know, trumpet sounds. Next thing we know, we're with the Lord in the air, and all the other saints that's died in front of us, we're with them. We're having a family reunion. Probably chicken. I mean, it's good. This could be good. The Bible said Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. That's exactly what happened. He was here 1 minute, and 1 minute he wasn't. The Bible said in a moment in the book of Corinthians, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, go back with me to Hebrews 11. If I was going to give you an outline, the first one I'd say is what a trip. I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to my trip. My trip, I was talking to Unc a while ago, he said, I'll see you in 6 weeks. I'm kind of upset, huh? He'd gone to Florida for 6 weeks. That's wrong, isn't it? I thought he needs a spiritual supervisor. I volunteer. That's going to be a trip. He's probably going to have fun, going to have things to talk about, but I'm talking about a trip. He took a trip. I mean, he's with God 1 minute talking and walking in this earth and knows all the bad that's going. How bad was it, preacher? The Bible said in Genesis chapter 6 that man's heart was on evil continually. It was so bad, God's about to destroy this man. I'm telling you, you and I are living in a time that God's going to punish the world again. Amen. It's only a long-suffering God that you and I are sitting here today. God's not happy with what's going on. God's not happy that people don't give Him time of day. God's not happy that people make fun of Christianity, that people don't believe in Jesus. Listen, God's not happy with any of that. God's not happy with the way marriage is going. God's not happy with abortion. God's not happy with all these things that you and I know that He's not happy with. You say, well, why don't God do something? He's going to. It's only because God loves you that He hasn't done something yet. Because you may be in this service this morning and you're not saved yet. And it may be something today that causes you to realize, I better get saved because this troubled time is coming. Enoch changed his life when the son was born. Something clicked with Enoch and Enoch realized, I better start living right and doing right because judgment's coming. How many of y'all believe that God looked at us and He judges us accordingly? I believe that. You and I just can't sin and get away with it. We think we got this get out of hell free card. That's what we do. If we're saved, we're saved from hell. I believe that. But I'm going to tell you something. You do not have a free ticket to sin.
Right.
Paul Blanton cannot write me a ticket and say this. This preacher has a permit to drive as fast as he wants on all the roads in Kentucky, signed State Trooper Paul Blanton. I'm flying down the road, I get pulled over at Liberty. I'm glad you pulled me over, officer. I want you to see this. Trooper Blanton. Prince Tim this morning. Gave me this thing, get out of ticket free. Y'all give him away. Got like a little ticket book, you know, get three tickets, get one free, something else. Listen, our salvation sure keeps you from going to hell. But I want you to understand something. Your sin is being recorded by God.
Amen.
And there is a payday coming. The Bible says if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. You and I just can't do what we want to do and expect God to just say, okay, that's good. Y'all all right. There's not such a thing as that. You and I will pay for the sins that we commit. And Enoch realized, you know what? I need to change the way I'm living. This is serious. Judgment's coming. And I'm going to start living right. And the Bible says this. I want you to see the second thing in chapter 11, verse 5 of Hebrew. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. You know what? I think they looked for him. But Bobby wouldn't have said he wasn't found if they wasn't looking. You ever looked for something and didn't find it? Boy, I have. And I found it where I wasn't looking. Y'all do that? Well, they looked for Enoch. Why did they look for Enoch? Brother Scott, I believe Enoch was living a life that caused people to notice. They may have made fun of him. They may have thought he was crazy. They may have thought, well, he prays every time he comes in Cracker Barrel. He prays every time he's in McDonald's. But you know what? All of a sudden he didn't come in McDonald's. Everybody's like, where's the crazy man that prays at? Let me tell y'all a secret. If I believe what I've just read, Mary, you and I keep living like we're supposed to live in this world. And when we're gone, I think people's going to notice that.
Amen. That's right.
I've had people that's lived in my life, and they're gone today, and I can tell you this, there's been times I've looked for them. And there have been times I wish I could find them. But they're not here anymore.
But I tell you what, their testimony still is.
Amen.
And there's been a thousand times I wish I could have talked to some of them. Some of the preacher brothers that went on in front of me. Some of my grandparents. I'd love to sit and talk with them about things that I didn't talk about when they were here. And I think those people around Enoch thought he was a nut. Here's this man, he's praying, he's living right, he's doing the right things. He said, well, what's the big deal? Nobody else was. The Bible said man's heart was on evil continually. It's a wicked world. And it's hard to find anybody out there living right, isn't it? You know, we talk about Tim Tebow all the time. Boy, they just keep trying to trash this boy. They keep trying to make things with him. And you know what? I'm scared for him. I'm afraid eventually, because he's a human, they're going to find something on him because he's not sinless. But people are looking for that, you know? But Enoch was walking with God. He's doing the right things. You know what? You can't do the right things if you don't walk with God. It's impossible. You can't do the right things. You've got to walk with God. You've got to go to church. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to pray. That's the only way you can walk with God. You've got to have a relationship with God. Remember when we started this thing a few weeks ago, I said, religion is man working his way to God, but relationship's God working his way to man. God doesn't want religion with you. He wants relationship. We read about God and man, and do you know it's intimate? He uses the same terminology with God and man as he does with Adam and Eve. Oh, preacher, that's disgusting. No, we've made intimacy disgusting. We think intimacy is sex. We do. That's not.
That's
you look at any dictionary you want to look at, you Google all you want to Google, you'll find out that's not intimacy. Intimacy is way past that. Intimacy is relationship, talking, sharing. And the Bible said Enoch walked with God. He walked with God in a bad time. But you know what? He got to take a trip. I can tell you today, sometimes, preacher, you ever get tired of trying to do the right thing? Yeah. I hate to admit that, but yeah. Sometimes it gets hard because the world just wants to see you fall. And sometimes you think, if I just fall right now, everybody get off my back, quit watching, and I can get on with my life. No, boy. You fall, you've done messed up. You've done got a testimony that you're going to be hard to ever dig out of. And what Enoch did was, he walked with God. He had a testimony. Look at verse number 5. The Bible said before his translation, before he was taken out of here, before he was not, the Bible said he had a testimony. You see that, verse 5? He had a testimony that he what? Well. Huh. He didn't please the congregation. He didn't please... Listen, I'm going to tell y'all facts. I don't think his family was happy with him. I don't know anything about Methuselah. I know he's the oldest man that lived, and I know that his name meant when he died, it's coming. But it doesn't say that he taught Sunday school. It didn't say he's a song leader at the first Adam church where Enoch was the pastor. It doesn't say any of that stuff, does it? All it says was Enoch walked with God. Enoch. But you know what? Enoch knew it was important for him to set example for his family. And his family may not have got it. They may have thought he was crazy. Well, Dad's crazy. My kids call me crazy. Sometimes I see the older ones looking at each other just shaking their heads. That's crazy. They do to you, Mama. They think you're crazy too. But you know what? Enoch didn't pay anything. All Enoch wanted to do was do one thing. He wanted to please who? God. And he had a testimony. Listen, it wasn't that God said, Enoch, you please me. We read in the New Testament where one day we'll stand before God, Brother Stephen, he'll say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But that's not what we're talking about. This is a testimony from the people that lived around him. He had a testimony. This is what other people saw. It's what the other school teachers saw. It's what the other people at the bank saw. It's what the people at the convenience store saw. It's what the other troopers saw. It's what they saw. He had a testimony. He pleased God. He lived a life that pleased God. You know what? That's got to be a good testimony, don't you think? And no doubt when somebody like that disappears, people look for him. But let me tell you the truth that he left us, and we're done. Not only did he take a trip, not only did he have a testimony, but he left us a truth. And this truth is so important. And actually, if I had to give you all a memory verse to memorize, I'd say memorize verse number 6. See, the last thing we found out in verse 5 was he had a testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it's what? Impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is come. First of all, Enoch believed that God is. Not it was. He didn't believe that God was coming. He believed that God is. I'm not sure we believe that way. I'm not sure that there's everybody in this congregation who believes in God like I believe in God. I believe that God is. I believe that God gives me the breath to breathe. I think if God so chooses, I can quit breathing right now. That may freak you out. It'll excite me. I believe I serve a God who gives me the breath. I think He keeps you safe on the road. You say, you think God's like, it's kind of like a chess game? I'm telling you what I think. I think God has protected you all more than you realize.
Amen.
I think some of you are headed for disaster, and God reached in and saved you from a disaster. I believe in the guardian angel thing. I believe in the whole rim of all that. I'm telling you, I believe God is. And so did Enoch. Enoch's walking with God. He was living 900 some years. And when Enoch's 365 years old, God said, you know what? You've been here long enough. He took him. Now, I think for a lot of reasons. Here's what I believe. I believe you and I, just like Enoch, will never. I don't think Enoch saw one drop of rain in his life. It never had rained. It doesn't start raining until the day Methuselah dies. If you do the math, the very next day, pretty much, that Methuselah died, it started flooding. Just like the Bible says. Now, you and I, anything to look at, all we know is God said He's going to destroy this place. God said there's going to be some famine, there's going to be some death. I'm watching History Channel the other day, and they pretty much proved that three of the four horsemen have already come. I'm sorry, they're all wrong. God, before the first judgment falls upon this earth, if I believe like Enoch, I'm out of here.
Amen.
God didn't put Enoch through it, and you guess what? He's not going to put you and I through it. I believe in a God who will not cause His people to suffer condemnation. He's not going to suffer us to be punished. But God is going to come for us. And before all that tragedy starts happening, and it can start tomorrow, but before tomorrow gets here, I'm gone. That's the truth. And I believe that truth. And this is what Enoch believed. Enoch believed that God was a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Let me show you one last thing about faith. You know, how many of them ever noticed in their Bibles that they got these places that you got to turn to someplace else and read? You ought to do that sometime. I did that with this, and I found a verse I didn't even realize was there. Go to the book of Galatians chapter 5.
He said, preacher, realistically, what I'm needing here today is, I just need a little more faith, it sounds like. That's pretty good. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse number 6. This is so good. Maybe it won't be that good for you, but it just got me all tickled. Look at verse number 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith. Oh, preacher, we've been talking about faith. You know, you're faithing us to death. What's the definition of faith, preacher? Y'all say it for me.
Confident conviction, it causes a commitment. But now look at what else he says in this verse in Galatians. He said, none of this availeth. None of this will raise you up, the Bible says. Circumcision, uncircumcision.
A lot of people think they've got to do certain things and they get a little attaboy from God. Well, that's why he said this does not work that way. But he says this, but faith. Then he says, which worketh by what?
That really didn't register to me, so look up the word worketh. The word worketh in the original, I'm not like these scholars and fellows, in the original language it says this. But you and I use a word in the original language that this comes from. We use the word energize. How many's ever used that word? Energize. We got the energizer. Boy, y'all watch commercials anyway. So we know what the word energize. The word worketh in Greek is energize. That is the Greek word. You want to learn Greek? Well, we learned Greek today with a redneck preacher. Greek. We did. Energize. That's what the word worketh means. Energize. Now read this verse. He said, but faith which is energized, how? If you energize something, what do? You give it more power, less power, same power. Alright, here you go. This deal with Enoch is simple. You and I walk out of here, we got this. Enoch was able to walk with God because he loved God. And his love for God energized his faith. Example. I've been walking with her 30 years. And our love, the love I have for her, has energized my faith in her. I believe in her. I trust in her. And she does not let me down. I have a confident conviction that causes a commitment in Rochelle. Can I have faith in my wife? Sure I can. You know what's happened in a lot of relationships since y'all brought it up? A lot of relationships have no faith in each other. And that's because you have not the love. The love is what is going to energize your faith. You've got to develop that love. You've got to develop love for Jesus. You've got to develop love for God or you'll have no faith. Enoch decided, I love God. How much I love Him. I love Him so much I'm just going to talk to Him. I'm going to do things for Him. I just love Him. And before you know it, His faith just kept getting stronger. He wasn't on some faith strengthening steroid. He was loving God and as a result, he was getting faith. Because love worketh faith. You know what? You and I have got to have a relationship with God. You and I can sit here all day. Let me just do it this way. How many of you are saved? Stand up. I'm not going to make you stand back down. You're good to go. If you're not sure, you can stand anyway. Everybody can stand. But here's what I want you to understand today. You can say you're saved. You can say, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know who Jesus is. And I prayed to God this morning before I come to church. And I prayed a while ago and you all prayed. And I know who God is. All of that does not mean you have a relationship with God. Some people have marriage license, but they don't have a relationship. That paper says you're married, but that does not make a relationship. Your salvation says you're saved, but that does not make a relationship. Your relationship depended upon you. I think Enoch was saved before Methuselah was born. But I think Enoch started walking for God after Methuselah was born. I think something clicked and he made a commitment. I can guarantee in this building, everybody's not walking for God or walking with God. I think that you all may be saved, but that don't mean you're walking with God. God wants to do something in your life that will cause you to walk with Him. And the greatest thing is if you'd fall in love with God. I'm telling you, love will do crazy things in your life. Love will make you do crazy things, will it not? I tell you what love and Rochelle caused me to do after about 2 weeks of dating. She would go to Wendy's and get a Frosty. And she would dip French fries in her Frosty. Now, honestly, Mary, that kind of sickened me a little bit. But you know what? After about 3 days, I dipped my fries in the Frosty. And sometimes, as crazy as it may sound, her and I will escape from the kids and we'll go to Wendy's and get a Frosty and fries and we dip them.
How do you escape?
I'll tell you that after church. But I'm going to tell you why all the things I did and I do is because I love her. And some things she does and puts up with is because she loves me. The relationship with God is a love relationship. And as a result of that, your faith will get stronger. And you'll be walking with God. I think this is for us today. You and I need to get our minds off the newspaper, off all these people telling us how bad the world is, and just walk with God. And next thing you know, we're going to be with Him right up there in heaven. And we just walk with Him, walk with Him. Next thing you know, we're there. That's what happened to Enoch. And if it happened to him, the Bible says it could happen with us. Wendy, I think it'd be great, don't you? Just be with him right now and talking and praying and singing. Next thing you know, where did this carpet turn gold? Just like that. The sad thing is, some of you are not walking with God. This world's going to be miserable. You're going to see all the tragedy. You're going to worry and fret. And you're going to have a miserable life. And some of you are not saved. And because of that, you don't know about where Enoch went. See, I'm praying today that something may click with you. That from this day forward, you walk with God. From this day forward, you accept Jesus. Whatever it is, you come to Him this